Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. The good news is it is Friday. It is Friday here in beautiful Brevard County, and we want to welcome you to WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, you're listening to the Refresh radio program, where my name is still Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we're going to spend the next 30 minutes with you today talking about some of the things that are partnered with the Spirit of Truth. And you say, well, why are you doing this? Well, if I cannot motivate you to seek the truth of God, because it is the truth of God, it is my desire that you will hear an attribute, something that is partnered with the truth of God, that will say, you know what, in 2022, I want to seek God. I want to seek the truth of God, and I want to walk in the favor and in all of the blessings of God. And so that's really why I am going through this the way that I am. And, you know, we'll talk more about that later. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 6 is where we're going to be today. If we're going to read verses 4 through 7, actually, we're going to focus on verse number 6. I want to take this opportunity to invite you out. I will be sharing the word this week on Sunday morning, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. Last Sunday, we had a missionary was with us, but the two Sundays before that, I had preached on these topics. The first one was that we are to be devoted to God, and every time I hear that word, I can't. I keep just having flashbacks to Olivia Newton-John in Greece, where she sang "Hopelessly Devoted to You." Well, the title of my message that day was not "Hopelessly Devoted," but "Stubbornly Devoted to God." And I want to be very, very persistent and even obstinate, if you will, in my devotion to God instead of resistance to God. So that was the first sermon that I shared. And then the next one that I preached was inspiration. What happens when God breathes? You and I, we need God breathing in our situation. We are alive because in the book of Genesis, God breathed into man and man became a living being. Jesus came and transformed living beings into life-giving spirits. He was a life-giving spirit, and we need to be a life-giving spirit. So he breathes upon his word. He breathes life. He breathed life into inanimate dust. He breathes life into us individually. He breathes life into the armies in Ezekiel chapter 37, and they come back to life that they may know God and that they would arise a united army that has come together piece by piece, appropriately assembled so that they can do the will and the purpose of God. And then the last thing that I shared in that particular Sunday morning message was that Jesus breathed on the disciples for the purpose of them receiving the Holy Spirit, that they would be empowered to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I'd like to invite you to come out Sunday morning. Our service starts at 10:30, and we would love to have you be there. We have we are still thriving. Our online attendance and in-house attendance is actually more than it was before the pandemic. But you might not see everybody that is at Merritt Assembly of God watching at the same time. So I mean, there are some that have not been back because of the COVID situation, but they're still very much a vital part of Merit Assembly of God. Today, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to try and hit three passages of Scripture today. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here on the first one, but in verse number 4, to set the stage for you, 2 Samuel is when David comes to the throne in Hebron, and he reigns there for 7 years. During that time, Abner has one of Saul's sons named Ishbosheth, or Eshbaal, who reigns in Saul's stead. Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, and Abner puts that son up on the throne over much of the nation of Israel. But the men of Judah, in verse number 4, came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead. Also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." So David writes, Jabesh, the men of Jabesh-Gilead, when the Philistines at the end of the battle came upon Saul's body and Jonathan's body, they took those bodies and they went and they hung them from the town so that everybody could see that Saul was dead. So you see it in 1 Samuel 31, verse number 8. So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa, and they cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Asherah, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his son from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So they did that because they did not want to see their king humiliated. And David, who was always, the people of Israel started ascribing great praise upon David, Saul became jealous. David was always loyal to Saul, but Saul transformed into an enemy of David and sought to pursue him. So now David is risen and he's in the beginning stages of fulfillment of the prophecy that Samuel had anointed him to be king over Israel. And he contacts the people of Jabesh-Gilead, and he says, "You are blessed of the Lord because of the kindness that you have shown to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him." In verse number 6, "And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you." So many times our actions set us up for divine revelation. I've told you about a passage of Scripture that says, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful." This is the New International Version. "To the merciful you show yourself merciful. To the proud you show yourself, to the pure you show yourself pure. To the merciful you show yourself," I'm getting it all mixed up here. "To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the pure you show yourself pure. To the merciful you show yourself merciful. But to the unfaithful, you show yourself shrewd." In other words, he stands in opposition to them. Here, because of the kindness that the people of Jabesh-Gilead had shown, David contacts them and says, "I'm praying that not only will you be blessed, but that God will show kindness and truth to you. The truth of God should make us a more kind people. It should cause us to be bold enough to go and do the difficult things, but it is always going to be done out of a sense of loyalty, out of a sense of kindness. And it says, David will also repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. I'm sure that many times you have done kind things for people and they have not responded in kind or in kindness. You can do kind things to people and then they turn around and bite the hand that feeds them, to quote that old expression. But that's not the way it is in God's kingdom. And so David says, I recognize the fact that you're blessed of the Lord. I realize that you have shown kindness. I'm praying that God will show you kindness and truth, and that I am not only going to pray that, I'm going to be a vessel through which I will do my best to repay this kindness that you have done. He says, verse number 7, now therefore let your hands be strengthened and be valiant. So the truth of God manifests itself in us in strategizing, if you will, how we can manifest the kindness of God. It will give us the boldness and the endurance to go and do those difficult things. And as a result of that, there's going to be blessing that comes our way. There's going to be strength from Almighty God that comes into our lives. We're going to be bold and valiant. And I just love it that even though the enemy had defeated Saul and his sons, they did not get the privilege of an enduring humiliation of their enemies, because of the people of God. So I just want to, ask you to pray about showing kindness, because it sets us up for the truth of God. A lot of times, if you remember, the scripture says, you strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. That was what the Philistines' hope was for the people of Israel. And instead, the people of Jabesh-Gilead said, no, we're going to rally around. We're going to rally around this purpose. And David comes and he tells them, look, you are not alone in this. We've got a tribe that is committed to continuing the covenant with God and the people of God. And I want to encourage you to continue to be strong and be valiant in the Lord, and you are going to be blessed. And never, ever forget that the kindness you have shown is going to reap dividends in your life. If you turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm a-turning. I'm going to read the entire section here, which is verses 1 through 6, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, this is a very important passage. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. We know he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So in verse number 6, it talks about that we have the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So I want to, on this part, I want you to see that there is a spiritual aspect to truth. It is not just an embracing of the facts. You know, it's not just the facts. It is the part of the spirit realm as well. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse number 23 and 24, it says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So the partnership here is between truth and the spirit realm. It is not just truth in the intellectual realm. It is not just truth in the factual realm. It is truth that that is utilized in our worship of God, in our discernment of the spirit realm. We need that particular passage. Verses 1 through 6 here are amazingly empowering verses in 1 John chapter 4, because they tell us the way, the process that we can use to be able to know when the spirit of truth is in operation and the spirit of error is in operation. So John chapter 4, verse 23 says that it is not just us that is seeking truth, but the Father is seeking worshipers. Okay? The Father is seeking such to worship him. What type of worshipers is he seeking? He's seeking worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him, get this word, must worship him in spirit and truth. So there needs to be a synchronization, if you will, a unity in our spirit and in the truth that we are proclaiming, that Jesus deserves to be worshipped. And so as you are seeking the truth of God and seeking to worship him, God is also looking for people who will worship. So when you gather, and by the way, it does not have to be in a church service. It can be individually. It can be in your private prayer time. You can have a God encounter any place that you are. You just start worshiping God in spirit and truth. God's looking for that, and it's like a spiritual homing device that goes off in heaven, and the Father says, "I'm going there. That's what I'm looking for." I was talking to someone that works for a grocery store, and they did not work in the grocery store that I was in. But I was talking to them, and I said, nothing is where it was some time ago. Because of my wife's surgery back in November, I've added grocery shopping to my list of duties. And so she will tell me what I need to get, and I know where they used to be. But they did a reset in their store, and they relocated the products, and some of the products are still where they were, and some of them aren't, and I still haven't figured out where they are. And so, I mean, it's a search. But because I have the gift of stubborn, I don't give up easily, and so I go up and down every aisle, and if I can't find it, I'm going to find somebody who knows where it's at, and have them point it out to me. Well, the Father is diligently looking for people who will worship him, and it should be done in spirit and in truth. So some things that I have written down here are, some people cannot handle the truth. You know, there's that old line from a Tom Cruise movie and Jack Nicholson. I think it was called A Few Good Men or something like that. And, you know, the line is, "I want the truth." And Jack Nicholson's response was, "You can't handle the truth." And then he goes off on a tirade. And It is not that some people cannot handle the truth, but it's because of their, some people cannot handle the truth, not because of an inability to grasp the facts, but because of a spirit of error. And so that word error says that there is deceptions with associations or wandering into error, and it is a wrong opinion or a moral error. So when you look at this passage in 1 John chapter 4, you need to realize that not everybody has the same spirit operating inside of them. And that is not an admission that people are willing to make very easily. So several years ago, there was some person that was going on a rant, and a relative of someone in the church had sent them this rant, and they were trying to angrily equate the operations of demonic spirits with some of the gifts that operate inside the church. And you know, most of the time I don't respond to those, but this relative was looking for a response from the person that comes to church. And so I set out to show them that there is a difference between the spirits. And so they tried to say, well, there's no difference in us, you know, casting a spell or using incantations and your ability to pray. Well, yes, there is. And the difference is, in prayer, we are not trying to manipulate the situation. We are asking God to sovereignly reign over a situation. And that's a huge difference. And so there is a difference between the gift of prophecy that calls people back into relationship with Jesus Christ, where their sins can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. They can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the life that God always wanted them to, than using psychic gifts, trying to scare people into not being able to get out of bed every morning. So, you know, there's a lot of people, and they say, oh, wow, if you knew that, you must be psychic or something. I've had people ask me, are you psychic? It's like, no, I'm just a Christian who serves God, and God knows everything. He just gave me a little bit of insight there. So let's look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 4. We got about 5 minutes left. It says, test the spirits where they are of God. That means that if you've got to test it, that there are going to be some tests that are come back positive. Yes, this is of God. This spirit is of God. But there is another, you know, there are other spirits that are going to fail the test and say, no, that's not of God. And so I've got no problem telling people that's not God. And they say, well, how can you be so sure? Well, you can be sure when you know the word. You know that the spirit of truth is different from deceiving spirits. And you can look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you can see that there are people who will not operate in the same mindset, same lifestyle. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says this, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So if you are listening to a spirit of error, you're going to be militant against the truth. Truth is not beyond examination. You know, if God could never be withstand scrutiny, if you will, he would not say in Malachi chapter 3, test me in this, prove me in this, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to contain. If God could not withstand the scrutiny, he would not say, test the spirits whether they are of God. You know who doesn't want to be tested and examined and scrutinized? It's demonic spirits. It's people who are trying to deceive people. And we see that in operation, not just in Scripture, but we see that in our current day and time as well. says many false prophets have gone out into the world that do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is of God. Every spirit that does not make that confession that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is God, every spirit that does not admit that is not of God, but is in actuality the spirit of Antichrist instead of the spirit of Christ. Now, when you think Antichrist, you may think end times, you may think Revelation, and the man of lawlessness is going to rule and reign, and there is going to be a person that fulfills all of that. But there is a spirit behind that person known as the Antichrist. And that spirit has already been manifesting in the world. It is a spirit that fights against God, that tries to suppress the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and tries to prevent people from knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, he says, but you, verse number 4, little children, have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. God inside of you is greater than the spirits of error, the spirit of Antichrist that is in operation of the world. So I had a conversation here not too long ago, and I shocked the people that that were telling me that there was a person in another situation, wasn't around here locally or anything like that. Excuse me. But they were saying vicious things about me, untrue things about me. And they really thought, you know what, I'm just done trying to help that person. And I said, you know what, there's no sense in arguing with that person because they do not have a grasp of the facts. And the truth is never threatened by the lie, but the spirit of error is always threatened by the spirit of truth. Allow Jesus in you to conquer all of that stuff. And so he goes on, verse number 6, and says, if you've got the spirit of truth in you, you are going to be listening to the word of God. You're going to be listening to the messengers of God. And if you do not, if you reject them, it says that's the way that you know the spirit of error. If the spirit of error doesn't want to give glory to Jesus, doesn't recognize the lordship of Jesus, and doesn't want to hear the words of Jesus, run from it. You don't need the spirit of error in your life. You need the spirit of truth. We'll see you tomorrow, or Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To all